Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode here on the 5571 podcast. My name is Danny, and for those that don't know, this is a podcast all about what's new and what's happening at the Disneyland Resort. And for this week, we have a lot to talk about. It's just going to be me this week. I'm just going to be talking about kind of some of the stuff that happened last night specifically. And we'll have some more guests maybe to talk more about this and have a little bit of banter back and forward as we continue this discussion, since it's going to be a pretty big deal. I'm going to be specifically talking about on this episode what happened last night. And that's the reason why this podcast is coming out a little bit later in the week than it normally does, because last night, which was Tuesday night, we actually had the Anaheim City Council meeting with members of the public, the person who Disneyland Resort, who actually is wanting this proposal, and then other members of the city council as well, too, including the mayor. So they all met last night. There were hundreds of people outside City Hall or wherever this was held, trying to get in. I'm not sure kind of what that looked like. People were waiting in lines, they said, since 3 p.m. The event went all the way until 1 in the morning, and some people had been there since 3, which is just crazy to think about. But essentially, they listened to, I believe, about 100 or so members of the public speak out in favor and against the Disneyland Forward proposal. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of what Disney shared, what the city of Anaheim's concerns were before they voted on the project, and then, of course, the outcome, which, as you may have probably already seen if you follow me on Twitter, X, or Instagram, the Anaheim City Council, including the mayor, voted unanimously to approve Disneyland Forward and move it on to the next step. Essentially, for all intents and purposes, Disneyland Forward has been approved. There is one more vote that I believe is held on May 7th, but it's more of a formality, they mentioned. So there does have to be like a secondary vote. But in all reality, the way that the members of the city council each spoke out about their vote specifically, I can't see any of them changing their mind between now and May 7th. They all were very much in favor of the project. And I think originally, the original vote, there was one not in favor and then 6 in favor. And now it was unanimously all 7. So it's definitely something that the city wants to do. And we'll talk a little bit about that for this episode. But that's all we're going to talk about this time. We're going to forego any news or other things happening around Disneyland Resort, just because there's a lot to talk about surrounding this topic. And then next week, we'll get back to it all. The only news I was going to mention really quickly, of course, is the Downtown Disney District. So I think in between the last episode and this episode, Paseo Centrico and Tiendita, the new restaurant group heading over to the old Catal restaurant location, that's going to be opening really soon. In fact, walls already went down around that location, and we're probably going to see test days from the cast members that work at that location. So we'll probably see people dining there. They'll probably have cast member previews for the cast members of the Disneyland Resort, just to get that training in for all the people that are going to be working those restaurants. We got a little bit more detail about the restaurants too. Tiendita is going to be their quick service location. It looks like you order off of a screen and then you pick it up and take it to go. The Centrico location is going to function more as its own standalone restaurant, in addition to being a bar. So it is a bar, just like Uva Bar was, but it's basically its own restaurant. In the Disney post that they posted on the Parks blog, it really showcased Centrico as its own restaurant, having its own menu, its own special unique food items, and of course, the featured bar in the middle of the location. But it has great outdoor seating, a great ambiance, and it's really its own gem in that collection of restaurants there. So they're really trying to have that stand out as its own thing. And I think, based on the post, that you're going to be able to get reservations strictly for just that location. So there will be reservations available for Paseo and for Centrico. And then Paseo, of course, will be mostly, if not all, upstairs in the new expanded dining room that goes above the Disney Home and former Wonderground Gallery location. So I just wanted to mention that. They're supposed to open in early May, but I would imagine starting next week, Before we talk about this news and other news later, they'll probably already have people who have dined there, and you'll probably be maybe even see soft openings. Restaurants, especially in locations like this, really love to do that so they can get the practice in for the people that are working at the restaurant. And the more, you know, the more practice they can get in before their grand opening ceremony, the better. So we'll definitely probably see some of that next week, I would imagine. And then a grand opening the first week of May. So right around the corner here, it's been a long time coming, and we're excited to see both Paseo and Centrico and, of course, the Tiendita. I'm going to try to go to as many of those as I can after they open. I know it's going to be really hard to probably get a spot there, but I definitely want to try the to-go option, right? Because people loved the Taqueria, so I want to see how it compares, what prices look like, and if it's a viable option for people that want to just get something quick, grab and go. But as I mentioned earlier in this episode, this is all about last night. So last night, the Anaheim City Council met to vote on their Disneyland Forward approval. And I think overall, watching the painfully long broadcast of it on YouTube and hearing the majority, if not all, of the public's comments, a lot of the people that were opposed to it really didn't have a grasp, I feel, on the actual project itself. Some people just hated Disney and wanted nothing to do with it. Some people wanted to use it as a grandstand for other political issues in that are relevant today that had nothing to do with this particular specific thing relative to the city. And then some people were grossly misinformed on what actually the project was trying to do and accomplish, and what Disney was trying to get awarded in this vote of approval, is what I mainly noticed with some people. There were legit concerns for people that had some concerns about it, and I feel like the city council did a really good job of collecting those concerns and bringing them up again when they had the secondary question with Ken Potrock, the president of Disneyland Resort, as well as other members from Disney that were on their team of like answering those kind of questions, whether it was the person who was involved with the project and as far as like the working with third parties to do the different environmental impact results and stuff like that. But overall, again, just to reiterate, the vote was unanimous, 6-1 or 7-1 or 0. There was a 7 resounding yes and 0 for no. So it is moving forward. Like I mentioned earlier, there is technically another vote on May 7th. And everything goes, I think, in approval after May 6th. So around May 7th, or June 7th, I mean. So June 6th is like, they have to like a 30-day window, and then the new zoning requirements will take place. So June 7th, I believe, is like the first day that everything takes place. So that's kind of our timeline. In the very beginning, I wanted to point out when Ken Potrock got to his, you know, the city itself went through Disney's proposal and the environmental impact report and the study that was done over the course of 3 years on collecting noise data from the resort and then doing mathematical models and things like that to increase like what noise would be, what they're allowed to do. And the thing I think that a lot of the people weren't who were opposing it, a lot of them didn't attend those meetings. I attended a lot of those meetings and I didn't see a lot of the people that were there voicing their concerns. And in fact, the people that were at those meetings who live literally directly across from Walnut there, across from Disneyland, they were attending the meeting and were in favor after hearing concerns. And Disney did hear their concerns. And I think the big thing about this is that the biggest misinformation that I heard during the presentation was that a lot of people were using the word displacement, that Disney was greedy, that they were going to be taking land that wasn't theirs and continuing to push and displace more of the city away and away. And that's just not simply the case. And if you know anything about Disneyland Forward, it's not anything at all what it's about. This is all land that Disneyland already owns. It's owned and operated by the Disneyland Resort. The only thing that would be gained by them during this approval was going to be three different streets, and two of them you can't even really call streets. So if you've ever been on Catella and you've seen the entrance to Toy Story parking lot from Catella, it's actually that little ramp that every bus that goes in and out of Toy Story parking lot uses when going back and forward from Disneyland Resort. So the buses exit that little gatehouse there. Sometimes you as a car can exit that same gatehouse right onto Catella Avenue. And the buses cross over Catella Avenue and continue down Clementine. Well, technically, that little stretch of street that runs from the signal light to where the gatehouse is by Disney is technically owned by the city. That little section of street right there. So that section of street would be given to Disney in a purchase that they would purchase from the city. And they talked about the monetary value of that and what Disney would have to pay in order to obtain that, because that is technically owned by the city, and it's not owned by Disney, even though it's a driveway. It's part of the public streets. So that's technically Clementine, because that street runs away and down, you know, moving forward. So that little section of street behind the signal light and right where the gatehouse is for where the buses pass through, that's Clementine Street. So that would be absorbed by Disney. So that's the only land that's not theirs that they would take. The other is Hotel Avenue or Hotel Boulevard. I forgot exactly what it was called. That is that same little stretch of street that you would use to access the Pumbaa parking lot. The Pumbaa parking lot, of course, is the parking lot off of Disney Way behind all those hotels on Harbor Boulevard. Guests did used to use it back in the day, and I don't even know if guests use it nowadays. I think nowadays it's mainly used by cast members who park for their shifts and go in the resort from that direction. So that little, again, that little driveway section, that's actually owned by Southern California Edison, they said. So if you remember that, there's like a strip of dirt land right there and these gigantic, massive power lines that feed power to the Disneyland Resort. That land is owned by Southern California Edison, as well as the land that that street sits on. So that land or that street would go back into ownership of Southern California Edison, and then Disney would purchase it or lease it from them. So that's the second street. And then the third street, which had most of the members of the public in the city of Anaheim upset, was Magic Way. And for those that don't know, Magic Way is the tiny little street that runs between Disneyland Drive and Walnut. So the only things that you can access while you're on Magic Way is the former Downtown Disney parking lot, which is now exclusively used by cast members that work in Downtown Disney or the hotels of the Disneyland Resort. And I think some park cast members also park there as well. But that parking lot is accessed from Magic Way. For those that like to do it, you can also access the Pixar Pals parking structure from Magic Way as well. And then, of course, the Disneyland Hotel's main entrance into their valet drive is on Magic Way. Other than that, there is an emergency exit from the parking structure also on Magic Way. But other than that, there's no other things in the city that you would use to access on that small strip of street. It's just like one or two lanes on each direction. And essentially, a lot of residents were saying that they use it to leave the resort or go through Disneyland Drive, and savvy residents who know, you don't pass Magic Way when you're on Disneyland Drive because at certain times of the day. Because if you do, you then mix in with the gigantic crowds that are leaving the parking structures of the Disneyland Resort. And if you guys have ever left the parking structures at the Disneyland Resort during a busy exodus period, you'll notice that you could be waiting there for a really long time. And so residents are savvy and they know, hey, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to cut down Magic Way and then I'm going to go to Walnut to get through to go on with my day. And it's shocking how quick that actually can be. A lot of people don't don't use Walnut. But it's a very quick access. Well, a lot of residents were upset to lose that quick access. So that would either require them to not cut through Disneyland Drive and maybe turn left on Catella, go up Walnut the regular way, or maybe go down to like Euclid and take another side street. And so they were just not wanting the street to be taken away. And so this would be the biggest section that Disneyland doesn't own that they would be purchasing from the city. They would close this street. It would still be accessible if you were going to go to that parking lot, which, as we know, is not going to be there anymore once the theme parks come. But it would also be used for access to the Disneyland Hotel. And the access to Clement or to Walnut Avenue would be cut off. So, but Disney assured everyone in their environmental impact studies and also when working with the city that pedestrian access would not be cut off. And the residents that lived directly across the street in the complex there, I think that complex was called the Kaleidoscope Complex. They mentioned that they did not want to lose pedestrian access because there's a lot of cast members that work there. There's people that work there that just love coming to the resort, and they don't want to lose access to be able to cut through and walk into the resort that way. That makes sense, and Disney agreed that they would not lose pedestrian access. In fact, they even went a step further to say that they would build and pay for a lighted crosswalk, which currently doesn't exist there now, and all those residents and guests who are crossing to use Magic Way on foot, they're jaywalking. And like a lot of residents mentioned in the meeting last night, the jaywalking is dangerous on that street because cars fly down that street at high speeds. Even though the speed limit is very low, it seems like a lot of cars that just run down that street at like 60 plus miles an hour. And it can be dangerous, and there has been accidents there. So Disney agreed to put in a lighted crosswalk, which I'm not sure if it would have like a signal light where like when a person pushes the button to cross, it like flashes the yellow light so that the drivers have to stop. And a lot of people cross here, a lot. So this could be slowing traffic down there a lot, which would be what the residents wanted because they said that people drive too fast there, and they all say that it's tourists that are visiting the Anaheim Resort, and they don't pay attention to the signs that indicate how fast you should be going. So that was the biggest concern with a lot of residents. But a lot of residents who were complaining about it said that they didn't want to lose their pedestrian access. And in fact, in the report, Disney stated multiple times that they would not lose pedestrian access here. In fact, it was included, and they're building a crosswalk. In fact, someone else even came up in support and said, why would Disney put in a crosswalk with the city, a lighted crosswalk, to then not use it? And so, you know, they were trying to, and again, she was a person that I had seen at the planning committee that actually had that concern and voiced it, and probably was one of the big reasons as to why Disney agreed to keep pedestrian access there, because she spoke her mind originally. But like I said, a lot of people who are voicing their concerns just really didn't seem like they had read the report, knew about it, and frankly just hated Disney and wanted to say anything they possibly could against it because they just didn't want anything to go Disney's way. Disney did a great job of listening to their concerns and then bringing up a rebuttal afterwards saying, no, we didn't plan on closing pedestrian access. In fact, it's in our report. I think a lot of news media outlets also really showcased Disneyland Forward in an incorrect way, in the sense that they hyper-focused on the fact that Disney said a $2 billion investment over the next 10 years. And so people assumed that Disneyland Forward was just for the interim, when in fact Disneyland Forward is all over Disneyland's website for this project and everything else. It's always been in the reports that Disney expects Disneyland Forward to carry it through the next 30 years. So, and they're not building all of this right away, right? This is just, they want the room to be able to expand over the next 30 years. So if we think about it in that way, we could at least expect the pedestrian access to be available for the next 30 years until they plan some new change in the future to try to expand or move Disneyland's footprint in a way on their existing land somewhere else. So I think that was a good way that they were able to sort of combat that. And again, the other concerns that were brought up regarding displacement, Disney also addressed those too, because they said, I'm really confused why everyone's using the word displacement, because we're not taking any land that's not already our own. And I think that's another big thing too, based on how it's being reported in the media. It seems like Disney's getting all this new land to build new things and expand, when in reality, all of these things are just parking lots that are sitting there acting as parking lots, and Disney's just trying to use them to make theme park space instead of a parking lot. So it's all land they already own. They just want to be like, hey, I want to build whatever I want to build on the land that I own. Will you let me do this? That's the whole purpose of Disneyland Forward. And in the case of losing parking, they even said, hey, we're taking like a blacktop parking lot and we're making it something like way nicer for the city, an expansion to the theme park, a better way to absorb space, a better way to not, bring in the heat like sometimes big black parking lots do with their black asphalt, you know, tops on them. So they were kind of brought that up as well as in a point. I think the other thing that they mentioned, which was kind of curious, was in regard to Disneyland Drive. And for those that don't know, Disneyland Drive is that big street that runs from the parking structure all the way to Catella Avenue. And of course, the Pixar Place Hotel is accessed from that. Magic Way is accessed from that. And the Grand Californian Hotel is accessed from that. In fact, Downtown Disney crosses over that street, and a lot of people don't even know you're crossing over the street. Originally, when I went to the planning meetings for this in the early days of 2021, when we were still doing these socially distanced, and in fact, some of them were as webinars because Disney didn't, as things started to get bad again and government regulations got worse, they started doing them as webinars via WebEx calls or Zoom calls. So we were doing those. I was there during all those days. And they had originally planned to close Disneyland Drive. That was part of the proposal that they had shared with us back then. And Disney had since revised their plan and no longer wanted to close Disneyland Drive at some point during the project. So they mentioned that as well in their proposal, that this was once part of their environmental impact report that they had been commissioned to do. And then now they abandoned that. So they forgave that part of it. But I think they still had it there as a showcase, but they weren't using it anymore. So if you think about now how Downtown Disney completely crosses over Disneyland Drive, I would say 99% of people who are crossing over that bridge don't even know they're crossing over a bridge. That bridge is full of food stands and shopping carts and things to do. And people, you know, love the Blue Ribbon Corn Dog cart that's right up on there. There's the chicken one. They have the Sunglass Hut there. People don't even know they're crossing over a street right there. They just feel like they're continuing through the shopping center. And so I feel like if Downtown Disney can really make you feel immersed in crossing a bridge, I felt like Disney probably assumed they could do the same when it came to crossing over from Disney California Adventure Park and also from Disneyland Park in their respective areas. In fact, they'd probably do a much better job with the immersion and crossing over the street in those instances. But even with something as open as what you cross over on Downtown Disney, a lot of times you're so immersed in what you're looking at, you don't even know you're crossing a bridge unless you look over to the side and you're like, oh yeah, there's cars there. So I feel like Disney probably realized that was probably the better and cheaper route, because they are spending a lot of money to close just these small sections of street that they want to close. We talked about the two driveways, right, which are really already on Disney property, but technically they're owned by the city. And then, of course, Magic Way, which was causing the most upset amongst the community. I think where Disney really had favor on their side was just how much support they had from local unions and also from the governor of the state of California. They really were behind how many jobs this would create and how many how much tax revenue this would bring to the city and the state. In fact, Gavin Newsom was, you know, sharing just after it was approved how it would be a great move for the state of California as far as tourism. I know they have to think, too, about the Olympics coming up in 2028 and how an expansion to Disneyland Resort, even expanding just in the beginning phases of this 30-year project, could really be a boom for them when it comes to the world eye being on them during the LA Olympics. So there's a lot on the horizon, and a lot of people were in support of this and the jobs that it would create. And Disney really did a lot to research the environmental impact, as well as I think the biggest thing that people who were opposed to it, and also just in general, all of these rules that Disney showcased in the Anaheim City Council vote and all these planning meetings where they say, we can't have fireworks here that are bigger than this. We can't build something that's this tall unless it's this far away from the fence. If we're building something that's higher than the fence, it has to be fully furnished and fully sculpted in 360 degrees. You can't get things like the back of Cars Land or the back of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, where you see like exposed rock work from behind. All of these rules, and there were like thousands of them, thousands of pages. I mean, all these rules were not a requirement of the city. These rules were put into place by Disney. This was Disney trying to extend a hand out to the city saying, look, we know that extending our theme parks into a space where it didn't normally exist and was just a parking lot before might bring a little bit of extra traffic and extra noise in spaces that weren't there before. You know, you get noise from a parking lot, but maybe a different kind of noise than you'd get from, say, guests, you know, gathering in an area that's a new theme park land with atmosphere music playing, whereas in a parking lot, you don't really have atmosphere music playing. So Disney was essentially saying, hey, look, we're going to build in these spaces, but we're going to take all of your feedback and we're going to create a rule book that we're going to have to follow. And no one is forcing us to do this. We're just doing this on good faith, because it's based, these rules are based on your feedback as a community and what you thought would be the concerns. And so we're putting these rules into effect and we're holding ourselves accountable to these rules, even though we don't have to. And that was kind of like their goodwill gesture to be like, hey, look, we can already build here and we can build even higher than this if we want to, if we're building a hotel. But we're holding ourselves to these rules to maintain like the peaceful atmosphere of your homes being like 200 feet away. So that's, what Disney was sharing mostly, right, in this meeting, to help with the city. A lot of the members of the city council, including the mayor, had concerns about some of the other initiatives that Disney was going to donate to as part of their vote to say yes on this, which was money towards affordable housing, money to improve like the parks in the city of Anaheim, money to improve certain aspects of the street on Catella Avenue or Harbor, I forgot which street it was, to incorporate a brand new sewer system, which they would need if the resort was expanding, but also they are already kind of in need from how many new resort hotels they've added on Catella. So there's a sewage, like, renovation plan that's already in the works that they talked about, and Disney was going to be funding that plan. So there was a lot of things that Disney was trying to do to showcase that they're not only trying to invest in the city, but their own theme park and their own expansion of their resort, but also the city and making the city around it as nice. So I think we all can agree that the Anaheim resort surrounding the resort itself is probably the nicest part of Anaheim, and Disney keeps it that way and wants it to look that way. So any expansion outward into areas that are just parking lots would not only make those spaces look better, you know, you now have these hotels that are maybe smaller in scale and type, and they are next to the Toy Story parking lot. Well, in the future, they could be next to a brand new theme park or a brand new completely immersive shopping experience like Disney Springs with hotels and resorts, making their value that much better. So I think those are big pluses that Disney was also trying to showcase as well. Before the vote actually happened, that's when Ken Potrock came up to sort of address some of the council's concerns and questions, as well as to showcase some of the results and findings of the environmental impact report. But he also talked about the Avatar experience with that thought, which was kind of funny. And he mentioned how the Avatar experience would be something that would be highest on their list, top of the list, top priority for them to move ahead with when it comes to the approval of this new initiative. And he said the approval of this initiative would entirely predict how much we do here. He's like, so he kind of indicated that the Avatar experience would move forward regardless of whether or not Disneyland Forward would be approved. But he said the size and stature and scale of this land or this experience would be solely contingent upon this being approved, and that if it was approved, it would be much grander. And so since we're now approved, I think we can probably expect to see pretty close to what the concept art that was shared by Disney as far as what's coming to the resort. Now, where that's going to be, that's something that needs to be revealed by Disney thus far. But we'll find out, I'm sure, at D23 from some more information on this. But I think we can all agree, and we've talked about this multiple times, not only on this podcast, on Mondo's Speculation Sunday show, and countless other content creators have said the same thing. It's pretty obvious what Disney wants to build first, and that is the Eastern Gateway project, the project that was canceled in 2018. This is the new parking structure off of Harbor. So the bigger, massive parking structure behind all the hotels on Harbor Boulevard, including a new transportation center and a new security checkpoint. So that would be a second major entrance and exit hub for Disneyland Resort as far as parking. And we know all of these spaces for expansion in Disneyland Forward are existing parking areas. So you can't take away parking unless you're putting parking back somewhere else. So they're going to build this brand new parking structure to give them additional parking for downtown Disney and things of that nature, as well as just more parking for Disneyland Resort. When you lose Toy Story parking, you're going to have to make that up somewhere. In addition to when you're expanding the parks, you're expanding the potential attendance and expanding the number of tourists that are visiting via car at the Disneyland Resort. So thus, you need more parking. So that's definitely first on the agenda. And I would assume in June, we see work already to start, start to make way for this new parking structure. I would imagine the first thing that we see is preparation in and around it, just to get it set up. We see maybe a route change for the Toy Story buses and how they drop off, and the whole transportation plaza right next to the Esplanade really taking shape and changing different as it would now be relocated to the new Eastern Gateway, that new parking structure where guests could go through a more streamlined security, just like they do at the parking structure now over at Pixar Pals and Mickey and Friends parking. So that's essentially where we sit. Like I mentioned, I didn't want to share my thoughts on the negativity that was presented on by the public as like everyone was invalid. I mentioned there were quite a few people that had valid concerns, and I felt like the city council did a really good job of collecting those concerns. And when it came to be their point to bring up these counter arguments to Disney, they sort of collected the ones that they had heard, and they listened to all these people until 1 a.m. And then brought those concerns that were more valid to Disney, including, you know, getting them to again confirm that they wouldn't lose pedestrian access on Magic Way, getting them to confirm that things like the crosswalk would be installed, there would be no displacement, getting them to confirm and be more specific on how funds would be used for the affordable housing initiatives. That seemed to be another big concern, where people really wanted a lot more transparency on where this improvement money would go and if they could track it. And that felt like that was a valid concern for the citizens to have, right? If this money's being donated, you know, this city has just, you know, unfortunately come off the heels of a pretty big corruption scandal with the previous mayor. And so the city residents were really just wanting to make sure they could make sure that the money that was being donated for the purpose of affordable housing and city improvement could be tracked. So sort of how like when you see like a road improvement project in California, and there'll be a sign that says this project is being funded by like Measure B that you voted on. So stuff like that. They kind of wanted like a website or some sort of signage to indicate that this project that's being done is as a direct result of this money that's being donated. So that seemed like a fair concern, and there was going to be an issue or a way for them to be able to do that. In addition, the other concern was surrounding noise of the construction, right? This is probably going to be constant construction at least, you know, in the next 5 years or so. You know, all this space isn't going to be used right away, but Disney's definitely going to be using some of this space to build something, right? There's investment that they want to build in Disneyland. We're on the heels of Disneyland's 75th anniversary. They're definitely going to want something big for 75. 70 is just around the corner. I think we're a little too close for something like that, but I think 75 is really something they have their eyes set on, and so in the immediate future, we might see a lot more construction. And with that heavy equipment that makes a lot of noise, that stirs up a lot of dust, that can bring their own measure of pollution that didn't exist before, stuff like that. So they wanted an option to be able to call someone or to monitor and complain about construction, maybe at certain times of the day when it's too much. And so they're going to have a dedicated line during this entire project where community members can call in 24/7 to voice their concerns about noise coming from the resort. And it doesn't have to specifically do with just construction. It can be general noise with maybe a loud after dark event or a loud grad night, or maybe just a day that the Fantasmic speakers seem a little too loud. They can call and complain and voice their concerns to the city, and they'll have someone to address that from Disney in the immediate future, and then get back to them and let them know that their concerns have been addressed. So that was something that they're going to implement and staff, and they mentioned it would be staffed 24/7. So that's, I think, another good valid concern for the people that live directly across from it, especially during the construction phase, right? If you're really having an issue where it's like always happening, like at 5 a.m. or something, you can call and be like, hey, is there something that can be done about this? Can we pick a different time or can we do it? In fact, another resident brought up a concern about how something like this was implemented before and it really helped. He mentioned that when Fantasmic was new, they installed speakers on Tom Sawyer's Island and they pointed them towards the guests for the majority of the show sound. And this was horrendous for the residents who lived directly across like Walnut and other streets like that surrounding the resort, because it literally projected the sound outward and into the city. And he said that you could hear every word of Fantasmic from their house. And it was just so loud. And as you know, sometimes Disney adds a third showing of Fantasmic at like 11 p.m. So it can be pretty late for some residents. So he mentioned that they provided that feedback when Disney had a similar hotline available, and that they immediately addressed the concerns, and to this day have rerouted and redone the speaker system for Fantasmic so that the speakers are closer to the guests and face more inward towards the park, but still provide the same show experience. And something they maybe wouldn't have known was causing a problem if the residents didn't voice those concerns, causing Disney to have to kind of rethink that and redo it. So, and he said ever since then, they don't have that issue any longer. So those are changes that can be positively influenced by that. So I think it's good that they brought those up again for anything that might come forward with Disneyland Forward initiatives and changes as far as expansion. But I think that really summed up the majority of it, right? There was a lot more talked about, but it's been discussed so many times, and it was really just reiterated. I have to admit, I was pretty shocked to see a lot of the opposition of the initiative, especially since, you know, having known a lot about the project, you think in your head, you're like, okay, well, this is all Disney-owned land. They're just trying to build what they want on the land they already own. I don't really see the issue here. And with some of the concerns, you're like, okay, they really don't know anything about it. They just hate Disney and they want to complain about it. And then the other people who brought up concerns who live literally hundreds of feet away had concerns that were valid and they were brought to light here. So all in all, it was long and very painful and sometimes to watch. However, I felt like it was productive and I felt like all the city council members really had Anaheim's best interests at heart when it came to the city's future as far as tax revenue, as far as improvements, and really took the time to listen to residents through literally hundreds of meetings since 2020 and 2021 when all this came out. And if there were residents who had concerns, there was so many opportunities for them to have brought them up in any of these meetings. And to say that you didn't know anything about this would be shocking to me. I mean, I have family that live really close to Disneyland, which is how I was able to attend some of these meetings. And even I, you know, even though I know that I myself am informed on this more than the average person, most likely, my family is not. And they were notified in like 50 different ways about these meetings and about the project. So there was definitely an opportunity to say, for those that were saying they didn't know, and that meetings were only held like a week before the vote, and it was rushed, is so not true, especially since I feel like it's been drawn on forever. For those of us that have been covering this, right, we've been waiting years for this to get approved, and it finally did. So right now, there's not too much to talk about. Like I said, we'll probably see Eastern Gateway construction start right away. Maybe we see construction for Avatar right away as well. But I think they're going to kind of hold and keep quiet on some of this stuff until they can mention it at D23. because then all bets are off. But like I mentioned on Mondo Speculation Sunday, I think there's a big part of this too that includes the Esplanade. And when you think about everything else at the Design Resort that's just so dilapidated and old and really in need of a change, the Esplanade is one of those places, especially with a whole area of ticket booths that are no longer used. So I really think they've been waiting to do any changes to the Esplanade until any of this other stuff was confirmed, because if they're going to have a brand new entrance coming from Harbor Boulevard, including a pedestrian bridge that crosses the street, they would need a whole new Esplanade to welcome that in. So I think we'll see a lot of changes in regards to Disneyland regarding the Esplanade at D23. I didn't think that at first, but now I really think that. And then maybe stuff about the Avatar experience. That's kind of what my predictions are. But if you have any predictions, let me know on social media as well. You can see me on X at Just Ask Danny, on Instagram at Just Ask Danny, and you can also send me an email to danny@justaskdanny.com. But I hope you enjoyed this episode and this breakdown. And man, I'm still tired from last night staying up until 1:30 in the morning on a work night to listen to all this stuff. And I'm probably not even nearly half as exhausted as the members of the public who waited to say their piece at the microphone, as well as the city council who had to listen to all of them in person and take notes and make sure they were actually paying attention to everyone that was there. So shout out to everyone that was there and involved. And also shout out to the people online who've been covering it feverishly and sharing extra details maybe I have missed and other people have missed as well too. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and this breakdown. We'll talk a lot more about it. And like I said, we'll be back to regular programming next week, talking about the news and the latest things. If you haven't already, you can follow me on YouTube. I have a new video up that just came out a few days ago about the latest and the greatest news and what's happening at Disneyland. So if you wanted to hear some of that on this podcast, you can see it and listen to it over on my YouTube channel and watch that video. It's live as of Sunday. I actually did it really late Sunday night after Speculation Sunday because I told everyone there I would. So go check that out, give it a like, and subscribe to me there. But thanks again for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.